So the first thing I'd like to do is just set the scene of the lithium market by taking a look back at where the industry's been and then maybe looking at some of the dynamics moving forward. So look, I think we've all heard an awful lot about EVs, and it's generally accepted now that electrification is the future we're heading towards. But it wasn't so long ago that the industry actually hit a slump as EV demand stalled during COVID. So if you take a look at that top left chart there, it's been a pretty remarkable journey in terms of the spot price of the two key lithium commodities. So we've got lithium carbonate prices and spodumene concentrate prices, and I'll explain a little bit more about what that means in a few slides' time. But as you can see, there was that that drift downwards during COVID, and we've seen a massive spike upwards more recently as economic activities returned, and so has demand for EVs. Now, this is an interesting time for the lithium industry. This is not a typical commodity cycle. This is really an inflection point where electric vehicle demand is expected to grow exponentially for a long period of time. And a number of leading analysts in terms of the industry are pointing to a long-term supply deficit. So if we look at the chart over on the right, Benchmark Minerals, who I believe some of you might have heard of, have taken a look at all of the different known resources of lithium around the world. And if you plot where demand is expected to be, supply just can't keep up. Even if all of those known resources are brought into production, demand will continue to grow and outstrip supply for the foreseeable future. Having said that, though, look, I think it would be unrealistic to ignore the potential for some bumps in the road, despite the likelihood that the market is going to be in deficit more often than not. So just taking a look at how the resource moves through to have you move from a primary producer through to a battery-grade product. There's a lot of jargon out there, and I just want to take a little moment to explain the differences, the key differences. So there's two key types of lithium mines. There's a hard rock mining, which we're probably more familiar with in Western Australia. And then there are lithium brines, which come from, not exclusively, but there's a lot of them that are in production in South America. So the key difference between those two is that lithium brines are more readily converted into a carbonate, which suits low nickel content batteries, whereas spodumene can be converted into either. It can go directly into hydroxide, which is more useful for high nickel content batteries. And the reason the nickel content's important is because they are the longer range, more expensive batteries that a few years ago were predicted to be the key driver of developed markets. If we look at where the lithium's coming from, Australia is actually growing to become the largest lithium exporter. Now, as mentioned earlier, a lot of that is concentrated in WA, which means hard rock or spodumene. Chile is also a significant producer, as are Argentina and Brazil, and they will all be lithium brines. China is also a significant producer, which is a mix of both. But at the moment, the major export supply is coming from spodumene. And in terms of cost, it's an interesting dynamic. So spodumene, to get to a producer, spodumene concentrate is actually cheaper than producing lithium brines. But the key issue there, as I mentioned, is that there is a conversion that needs to take place. If we're looking at, if we're looking at lithium carbonate margins, brines actually went out because it's easy to get to that battery-grade product from a brine. But as I said, there is an emerging dynamic where if hydroxide demand becomes the key commodity for battery precursor, we might find that margins are actually a little bit more palatable in the hard rock operations. So in terms of what's out there, we've got a lot of producers, a lot of early stage explorers or near getting closer to production in some cases. But there's really only two pure play companies that are in production. That's Allkem and Pilbara Minerals. I haven't included in this chart IGO, which has a roughly 25% stake in the Greenbushes mine, or Mineral Resources, which owns two hard rock mines in WA. Look, you could invest in those companies if you want some mixed lithium exposure, but I'm really just focusing on the pure plays here. And when you compare on a EV to resource metric, you can see Allkem is actually significantly cheaper than Pilbara. Now, part of this might be, as I said, there was a perception that was there in the market for a few years that hydroxide was going to be the dominant form of lithium demanded. So maybe that's driving some of that price premium. What we're seeing more recently, though, is that some of the lower nickel content batteries like lithium iron phosphate, it's a safer alternative. So there's less range that you get from the battery, but they are safer and cheaper to produce. There's been some interesting moves with Tesla talking about wanting to move to LFP batteries as opposed to the high nickel content batteries they were pursuing in the past. So I'm not sure that that is necessarily how it's going to play out in terms of that price premium for Pilbara being justified. If we zoom in on Allkem in terms of its drivers and where its resources are, so it's got a number of projects around the world. So with the combination of the Galaxy assets from the merger last year, there's a operating mine in WA, the Mount Catlin mine, which is quite profitable at the moment, but there's not a lot of, it's a low resource or reserve mine. There's not a lot of life left in the mine. It's probably got maybe 4 or 5 years to go. The other key project at the moment is the Olaroz brine facility, which I'm sure we're probably all familiar with from Brownie's previous coverage of Orocobre. So that is expanding at the moment. There's a stage two expansion underway. We're expecting the production from that facility to start stepping up the second half of this calendar year for maybe a 1 or 2 year period, as well as a lithium hydroxide conversion facility in Japan, the Naraha facility. There's also a few other growth projects in the pipeline, notably the James Bay hard rock mine in Canada, as well as the Sal de Vida brine project in Argentina, located not too far away from Olaroz, actually. So in terms of the resource, Allkem is probably more dominated by brines than it is by spodumene, although it does have a good mix of the two, unlike Pilbara, which is purely a hard rock operation. In terms of the valuation contribution, look, again, a lot of it is coming from the brine operations, notably Olaroz and Sal de Vida. But James Bay, that upcoming spodumene mine I mentioned, is also going to be a pretty key contributor when it gets into operation. I've included a snapshot of some of the key cash flow drivers in my forecast. As you can see, revenue is expected to climb significantly. So the dynamic behind that is Allkem or Orocobre had a lot of legacy contracts that they entered as that slump happened in the industry. And they were looking to get some downside protection, which has meant that the revenue has lagged the spot market considerably. Those contracts are actually starting to roll over now, and we're expecting some significant increases. In fact, management's already guided to some significant increases. But what was interesting, though, at the half-year result and even the presentation we had from Martin not that long ago, they acknowledged the fact that they're being a little bit conservative with those numbers. They do want to see how this quarter is progressing before they potentially upgrade guidance a little bit more in terms of what they're expecting from the Olaroz average price. There are some risks, though, obviously, with any stock and with any commodity producer. Production risk is still there, as well as some exploration risk potentially. There is also always the chance that as they move assets into production, that things maybe weren't as good as they initially hoped. I'm pretty confident, though, given where commodity prices are, that that's unlikely to be an issue. But obviously, when you're recommending this stock to your clients, that is something you need to bear in mind. Commodity prices are obviously another key issue. But if I jump back a few slides, sorry, Chris, to that one there. If you look at the dark blue line there on the chart on the left-hand side, so spot prices for lithium carbonate in China are sitting somewhere between 60 to 70,000 US per tonne. Management's actually guiding for 25,000 per tonne in terms of the average price achieved for this calendar year. As I said, that's probably a conservative view. The spot market is quite illiquid at times and prices can jump around, but I'm not thinking that Allkem is going to be that exposed on the downside. If anything, I think there's probably some more upside to come. But it is something we obviously need to watch. It can work both ways at times. The other really key one there is continued growth in EV demand. So lithium itself is probably not, in terms of its price, is probably not enough to kill the economics of batteries. But obviously there's a lot of other commodities that go into making batteries that are also approaching record highs. So we are seeing some increases in the cost of batteries and that flowing through to the cost of EVs. Again, I don't think this is going to significantly dent demand in the short term, but if that trend were to continue, there may be some of that really, hyper-accelerating growth we're expecting. Those expectations might need to be tempered a little bit. And then, of course, there's construction risk with the project pipeline. One other key issue is the Argentine economy. So it's in hyperinflation. And there is also some corresponding foreign exchange, which tends to offset that. So as the cost of doing business in Argentina increases from a US dollar perspective, just a purely nominal perspective, you should see some offsetting foreign exchange movements, which in US dollar terms will balance that, but it doesn't always perfectly correlate. You can see periods where, like we have recently, where the inflation moves ahead of the devaluation of the peso, but that does add a little bit of noise to some of the earnings from the South American part of the business. And then finally, of course, interest rates and tax regimes, including royalties, are always a risk with any commodity producer.